as you go through, and I think this is where, Tracy, if you want to pull up that one slide. The wartime, there's another slide in there. Did you see that one? It's just nothing but it's just a single slide. It says stats. It's quite a thing to look at. And of course, it has been and it stands that, as you can see, the Civil War had the greatest loss of life. Wow, the Civil War. Looking at just 498,000, just shy of, 500,000 people killed. And then World War II comes in at 405,399. And I don't do that to look at and say, ooh, look at that. There's more there and more less here. And I thought more died in that. But it's to look at the overall, what men and women have given as they served this nation. We find that everybody that has entered into the military, you are sworn in. There's two types of swear-ins. There's the swearing-in for the enlistment, and then there's a swearing-in ceremony or oath that is taken for those that are officers. But basically, they're pretty close to the same. But as we look at those numbers now, this oath came into being, not at the Civil War era, but through time. But it comes into where, as the person stands there and raises their right hand, they do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. And there is, in the military, there is a Uniform Code of Justice that they have their own legal ram or legal arm in the military. It's a little different than civilian. But you think of later on down through, World War II and Korea and Vietnam, and now we have so many young men and women. They're still going in voluntarily. I didn't do looking up to find out the stats or when the draft, but I think once the draft went out and after the Vietnam time, it's all been a volunteer army. People are just volunteering to go in. Yes, there's some great advantages to it as far as a career, as far as training, as far as schooling, getting trained in particular areas. But they also know that as going in, that there is something that may be required of them. And what is that? That their life might be laid down in serving this country. And so as we look at Memorial Day and we look at that slide of the number of people that have given their lives. And I find it interesting that back in the Civil War, wow, that was quite a battle, wasn't it? And some of the things are still repercussions of today. It's still kind of craziness out there. But just take away from all of that and just say, wow, these people, these men, and then later on in life, the men and the women and have been serving our nation, sacrificing their lives. I'm not going to say that they go in there looking forward to laying their life down, but they're willing to if that's what it takes. There's got to be something much more stronger in that person than the common person, don't you think? It's not to say that other ones that didn't go in were chickens or, you're losers or anything like that, but it's just in circumstance of times and what works in this person's life, and a lot of that you find is career type thing, or it's always been in my family. How many here have had a grandfather, another grandfather, an uncle? It just went through the ranks of the family. They served in this conflict, they served in that conflict. It's kind of like police officers and firefighters in their families. You find that a lot of it is generational, where I'm a police officer, my dad is a police officer, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my uncle. It's something that somehow gets into each individual differently. And again, it's not to say that those that haven't are any less, but it's just something that we've all been put in, and there's something within the DNA of that person that they just follow that track record there. Thank God for that. Thank God that we've got men and women willing to take that oath to be in duty of protecting our land. And God forbid if it had ever take it to the point to where it'd actually be fighting on land, hand to hand, or you know what we're doing in some of these foreign countries now of in country battles. So remember that Memorial Day is to remember the fallen. Those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. We can look at some scriptures that would help us in relating to some of that or understanding that. Jesus was sharing in John 15:13 that greater love has no one than this, that one will lay down his life for his friends. And so we look at the service that our men and women have given to this country, and I believe it'll go on and continue on until Christ returns. The suffering in Christ, Romans 8:15 says, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Throughout their military career, I was just listening on the news this morning, and a father was remembering his son that was killed when he first got into the country over in, I don't know if it was Afghanistan or somewhere in the Middle East. And this young man, he said, his dad said, you know, he went through college. He got out of college with his master's. So it's not like those that are only going in are those that can't succeed in college, right? We know of stories of those that have had football careers many years back. Who was that football player? I can't think of his name. Tillman, that had a wonderful career in football, making how many thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when the thing happened in 9/11, something in him said, you know, there's much more to life than playing football and making all this money, and I got, you know, I'm going to go serve my country. Well, he joins up, he gets into, I don't know if it was the Green Berets or some fighting force, you know, the strategic type, and of course, bad thing about it, he was killed by friendly fire of his own men. And that happens. Not everything in war goes well. Not everything in war goes as planned. And it's sad to say. I shared a little bit this morning about some of the things that I've watched just on some of the movies this weekend because of it Memorial Day. And like Turner Classics just has one thing after another of military movies. And some of them are, you know, like No Time for Sergeants with Andy Griffith. You know, I don't think that really happened, you know. Hey, plowboy, you know. But there are other ones out there that were true that they put into film. And so there are some good things that came out of some of those situations. And even watching movies, it kind of brings you to light, going like, wow. And so we find people, and here's this man today talking about his son, went through college and was a wonderful young man, got his master's, and he wanted to serve his country, joined up, went into country. Within 11 days into that first tour over in the Middle East, he was killed by a roadside bomb. 11 days. Wow. But many people, family members, wives, fathers, mothers, it's hard. But a lot of times you'll hear them say, but they died for what they believed. They died the way they would want to, helping, supporting, trying to make a difference. Not necessarily in the country of America, they weren't fighting on our soil, they were fighting in a faraway land. Many thousands and hundreds of thousands of miles away. But they were doing something that they believed in. In Romans 13:7, Paul is writing, give honor and respect to those whom it is due. And that's what we do today with Memorial Day, is honoring those that it's due to them. It's not a holiday to buy, you know, sheets and pillowcases and towels at Kohl's, even though they're given a great buy, you know. take advantage of it, I suppose. But that wasn't what that young man and young lady went over and died for. But maybe they did, I guess, because we live in America that is free. We live in America that has choices, and we have what we can do when we want to pretty well. We're a pretty blessed people. We're a blessed nation. We know much of that comes by way of God, for sure. But we know a lot of it also is because of those that have gone on, well, it's not, but those that have gone on and had fought the fight and to help in faraway lands. In some of the things of understanding, and you look at, I look at our nation today and I just wonder, where would we be today if we had a lot of people running our country back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s? If that was the case, there would be no way that they would say, you're going to go battle in Europe. There would have been no Normandy. There would have been no Battle of the Bulge. There would have been none of that because it was such a horrific loss of life. But yet, men and women of America Armed Forces were put into the harm's way, and they answered the call, and they kept going. It's amazing. I watched some of these films and these movies, and I just like, wow, the amount of life that was lost and so fast. Anytime you watch and they show a beach scene and the battle was it Normandy or Battle of the Bulge and different ones where you see just pools of blood and in the ocean and the sea there's just red because there's just so many killed soldiers. But they kept going. They kept fighting. Because they had something within them that they were together as a unit. They were together as one. We could look at a lot of that and hopefully parlay that into even our Christian walk maybe a little bit later here. And we don't have a lot of time to share, but just how some of this parlays into dying at times for our faith. But we know that we have this day and this weekend to remember. Talks about in 1 Corinthians to be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. You would find that in our military. Joseph Campbell said, a hero is someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than oneself. When we make God our king and advance his kingdom in our nation, we serve both our Lord and our country. Courage is contagious, Billy Graham said. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. When you think of the gospel, the disciples believed so much in the resurrection that they gave their lives to share the good news. We see that when someone is so sold out, when someone is so within themselves sure of something, of what they're believing and what they're doing, nothing will stop them. There's nothing in front of them that will stop them. Even though they may be killed, they're going to keep going. And if they make it, praise God. And if they die, they're going to die. But they've got something within them that says, I'm going to keep going and pushing on. The disciples believed so much in the resurrection that they gave their lives in sharing this news. Now, it wasn't good. Well, it was good, but then the outcome wasn't so good of the disciples back in the day of Jesus or after he was resurrected. And we've talked about the ascension, you know, Ascension Thursday, where he went up 40 days out. But now we're looking at the disciples. The first to die was James, the brother of John. He was killed by the sword upon the order of King Herod. Tradition in our churches holds that John miraculously survived being put into a cauldron of boiling water or oil and then later was exiled to the island of Patmos. Peter was crucified in Rome upside down. Matthew was slain by a sword. James was thrown from a pinnacle of the temple. And he lived from that. and then beaten to death with a blacksmith's tool. Who wants to be a disciple of Christ? Who wants to go out and share the gospel? Who wants to be a martyr for what Christ stood for? It's the similarities that we would find, I think, in that of the military that have gone and served in so many battles in other lands. Something within that person, that man, that woman, that was stronger than the fear to run the other way. I believe it's got to be something that God has put in them. And I believe as a Christian, I believe as that of sharing the gospel of God, that each and every one of us in this room could be put in one of those situations as the big early disciples, those early followers of Christ. And we hear that happening in foreign countries. We hear that over in Asia, in the Middle East, and some of those countries over there now of pastors and Christians being slaughtered and killed and beaten. It hasn't happened here in America yet. But is that day coming? It could. I don't know. I don't have a timetable on it. But I know it's going to take us having a strong spine to stand strong for the faith that we believe and to proclaim that to those that we have a contact with. And even to those that might mock it, even to those that might deny it, even to those that might say, if you say that one more time, I'm going to shoot you. Deny him as your Lord, or you will be killed. Wow. There's a decision to make. Do you advance on that beachhead? Do you advance to that kingdom of God to say, you may take my life, but I'm going to a much better place? And would I have time to say, Lord, forgive them for what they're doing, for they know not what they do? I don't know if those words will come out of my mouth. As I stand before you, I would say, I certainly hope so. But we will all possibly have a possibility of a time where we've got to make that choice. We've got to make that decision. But I believe as long as we are as a sovereign nation, as long as we've got a well-manned military and people there to protect us and to keep our liberties free, and fight for these things. Remember it said in that oath, against enemies, foreign and domestic. That tells you that sometimes the enemy doesn't come from without. It comes from within. So we are in our own battle. We are in our own regiment. We're the army of Christ. Amen. And you've joined up. And just like when they receive in the recruitment of, I, state your name, do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States, when I said, Jesus, come and be my Lord, I will serve you and I will make you Lord of my life. I took that oath kind of there too, that when he says that, well, if you deny me before the others, my Father in heaven will deny you. See, we have taken that oath, and sometimes we take it lightly. We don't think about the consequences. We don't really know where it's taking us because it's new to us. But once I step out of life from this world and the things of it into the new life of that of a Christian in God's kingdom, I am in. Now, where I'm at, I'm in a foreign country. It tells me that. It tells me that this place I'm just passing through. It tells me that I'm an ambassador for Christ. It tells me all these things. God's Word tells me these things in preparation to tell me that I have joined a group. I have gone into a kingdom. I have changed places from the world of Satan and God of this world into the God of everything, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Choose this day who you will serve. I've chosen this day in some past days back when I received Christ to serve you, God. I don't know where you will take me. I don't know where you will lead me. And I know many here today at times have those decisions to make as well. But I trust in you, Lord, and I know that you've got my welfare. I know that you have given me a life to succeed and not to be a failure. There are no failures in God's kingdom. When he has called you, he will equip you. When he equips you, you will have what it takes to go, to go, to go. Everybody say go.
Go.
You've got to go when he calls. When he's given you the resources, when he has given you the talents, when he has given you the ability, you cannot just sit there and say, well, it's all good and well, and I'm in God's kingdom, and when I die, I'm going to go to the sweet by and by. Many people say that. But God is not looking for pew sitters and pew just to hang in there and wait until the train comes to take you home. He's looking for those to take the battle out there. Sometimes the battle's in the church, but let's take it out there into the highways and the byways. And it's not to take up arms and fight and all that, but just take the word of God out there and share the light. Share the hope. Share what he has done for you, how he has helped in your life, how your life has changed. Gone through trials like Wayne just shared about things with family and personal things as well and choices and decisions, and I just don't know where God I'm going, and but I've got to believe, right? I've got to believe what you have told me to do, you will see me through it. He's not going to leave you orphaned. He's not going to put something in you and say, boom, here, you know, Rick, you figure it out. Here's what I want you to do, now you figure it out and I'll see if you make it. Now, man might do that, but my God won't do that. He will say, you know, Janice, this is what I want you to do, and I'm going to be there with you to get you through it. If you believe, if you keep your eyes on me, if that boat starts rocking, know that I'm in it with you. Storms and gales and winds will blow, but there's always sunshine on the other end. The dark clouds come and cover us and I can't see the sun, but I know that if I could jump, get in a jet or in a plane and go above that cloud bank, it is beautifully bright up above. And you look down upon those clouds, and how many here have flown, and you get through the cloud bank and you look down, and I would almost think I was looking at North Pole or the Arctic or something when the clouds are just right and it's just all white. Beautiful. There's a light. There's a sun that is out above your circumstance. No matter what that cloud is, no matter how thick that cloud base is, you will get through it because there's light above it. And I believe Jesus will bring you through that. But you gotta, as my brother said today, believe and trust. And don't try to always think you've got to figure it out yourself. Now, the Lord may put some things in you to say, okay, here's some things. Now you decide, you think about these things, you pray, you meditate. And the Holy Spirit will connect to my spirit, and generally you'll come up with like, oh yeah, all right, that's it. You know, remember we talked about how James was thrown off the pinnacle of a temple. Then a guy lived, so they beat him to death. Philip was hanged against a pillar. Bartholomew, oh, this is the way to go. Skinned alive. Andrew was bound to a cross, and he preached to his persecutors until he died. Sounds like something Jesus did. You know? When these things happen, it's like, now we can get back, okay, let's flip it to this, to the disciples. It's like, well, who here would die for a lie? Who here would die for something that never existed? You are just sharing and following a lie and presenting a story that really didn't exist. Who would die for that? Not too many people, it says. But for someone to die for something that they know, for something that they are seen and were aware of and had so much a part of their life, they're willing to be hung upside down, beaten with blacksmith's tools, skinned alive, thrown in boiling water, you name it. Run through with a sword. Now here, Thomas, He was run through with a lance in the East Indies. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned, and then he was beheaded. Mark, he died in Alexandria after being cruelly dragged through the city. Those were the disciples of Christ that died for a cause, that gave their life for something that they so much believed in that no man could change their thoughts or change their story. Remember when Jesus came out of the tomb and the guards were there and they, we got scared. They ran back to the temple and the priest and the authorities there were saying, well, here, just tell your commander that, you know, his disciples came and rolled away the tomb and the stone and we'll back you up on it and here's some money to tell that lie. So that shows you that some people can be bought. But these disciples had something much more deeper than that. They had that true experience with Christ. And they had that understanding. They saw, they were taught, they seen these things develop, and much of them what Christ said while he was with them. And they went out of here believing, and they stood their ground, and they would not deny him. And I can't believe that many of these people that have shared and gone into our military and have lost their lives, I don't think they go in there with a death wish. I don't think the disciples had a death wish that said, just take me out. And the only way I'm going to do it is let somebody kill me. I'll be a martyr for that, you know. It's not that. But they had something that God had put within them, in their spirit, so strong and so evident that it had a hold of them. Deep down, it was something that they believed in. It was something that they could understand and grab a hold of and say, I believe that, and I'm going to support that, and I'm going to do all I can, even if it requires my life, because I believe in something so much that it is worth that. Our military servicemen and women have done that. Disciples have done that. Thank God for us in this room today, we've not had to make that ultimate sacrifice, right? That we've been able to live life happy. We've been able to go to and fro Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, to our job, to the stores, to the restaurants, go home, do whatever it is, and have peace and protection and we've not had to make that call. It's no different than that of our law enforcement officials every day when they go to that department and get in that squad car. They do not know if they're going to get home that night. Just a few things. May 27th, special agent. Michael Walter, he was shot and killed in Richmond, Virginia, while investigating a suspicious vehicle at about 7:30 p.m. He approaches the vehicle and shot several times, dead. 45 years of age, leaves a wife, a daughter, two sons. May the 24th, a border patrol. He succumbed to his injuries sustained 4 days earlier when he was stabbed in an unprovoked attack. A deputy sheriff over in Montana was shot and killed while involved in a pursuit of a vehicle. The vehicle was pursuing had fled and attempted to stop traffic violation. During the pursuit, the occupants opened fire, severely wounding him and causing his vehicle to go off the roadway. The subjects then made a U-turn. The squad car veers off the road. They shot him. He's off in the ditch. The suspect's car makes a U-turn, returns to the patrol car, where they fired over 24 rounds into it, striking the deputy twice in the head. What possesses someone to say, I do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States to the best of my ability, whatever circumstance, you know, whatever they're going into, the military. They do the same thing when I have attended new officers that are being hired at the police department in Janesville, when they're having their swearing-in ceremony. These officers are having their hands. I do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the state of Wisconsin and the laws of the state of, or the city of Janesville, you know. Something in them that they want to serve. Something in them that says, I want to make a difference in my country, in my city. Even if it requires my life. I didn't read, but I think that gentleman, many of these officers, some of them have a wife, 3 kids, 4 kids. Sometimes just married. Maybe some have a wife, a baby on the way, and their life's taken from them. It's like that of our military when these men, could you imagine joining up, going on a tour, and being gone for a year, maybe 2 years, I don't know. 30 days would be too long for me. But they leave their loved ones at home and go into a faraway land. And some never make it back the way they went. They get carried back. That's the memorial, remembering. And so when you think of that memorial, a memorial is there to create, it's a memorial is created to honor a person who has died or to remind people an event in which many people have died. So please, this weekend, ponder a little bit about the service men and women that have died. Think about those that are serving. November comes, we have Veterans Day. That's when we honor those that are serving currently, veterans and military there's the Memorial Day, Veterans Day, ones that are dead, ones that are alive. I heard a news thing on the other day, and I think it was sent in by, was on the radio, and the guy sent in an email to him saying, please, I'm a veteran, but don't come to me and wish me a happy Memorial Day or whatever, because that takes me back to the time, like, why did I survive and all my buddies had died in that battle? He says, don't wish me that. Honor those that did die and give their lives on Memorial Day. And I heard that and I thought, you know, that's an interesting thought, how that could affect some veterans when you go to them and they're alive and they came back from their tour of duty and say, well, thank you for, you know, serving. Thank you, because to them, Memorial Day is remembering their buddies that died on that beach, that died in that desert. Yeah, died out in that ocean. So, Memorial Day. Keep it just that, a memorial to those that gave their life. Thank you, Father. Just before we have a few more songs, let us just